Welcome to Soul Chat, a platform created by queens, recognized queens, to help bring out the queen in you and helping you master yourself holistically. We aim to be the light at the end of the tunnel with topics and guests that speak to your soul. So join us as we take you on an epic journey with powerful people sharing powerful stories and tools to bring out the best in you. Hey, you guys, welcome to Soul Chat. I am your host, Ebony Tatora, and you guys, I am just sharing a very, very special part of myself with you guys today. This is an episode in the making, and the reason why I wanted to do this was because I never realized how many people, you know, I'm a millennial. I never realized how many people did not and do not have wise grandparents that either gave them direction, that helped them to, you know, learn from their own experiences so they didn't repeat the same thing. So I'm sharing a very, very special part of myself with you guys. And no, you cannot have them. So just know that. But I did want to bring you guys the wisdom that pretty much helped to mold and shape the person that I am today. So today I am bringing to you guys my grandmother and my grandfather, Brenda and Tony Morrow, who I have on the phone. They live down in Mississippi. And growing up as a kid, you know, even though I still made a lot of mistakes, you know, they didn't live as close as we would have had, we all would have liked, but still nonetheless, their impact and their wisdom definitely carried me on. And I know you guys have heard me say this, I've said this on lives, I've said this in different episodes, but, you know, my grandmother, this particular grandmother, my mom's mom, was where the viewpoint of me understanding what a queen looked like, whether it was her poise, whether it was how she carried herself, whether it was the wisdom, her integrity, you know, just qualities of a person that I think if we don't see that as girls growing up, you know, a lot of times you have to model something. You know, what do? We mimic and we imitate. So a lot of who I am is really due to her. This brand, Queens Recognize Queens, that queen mentality really came from her and seeing just how she maneuvered and how she dealt with certain situations. I shared with her last week about a situation where she wouldn't use an expired coupon. And I just admired her so much for that because I'm like, I've done so many bad things in life. Like, trust me, use the expired coupon. It's okay, you know, but to see her integrity and to see, you know, how she's always stood by her morals and just her own moral compass for the sake of just herself and the value that she has for herself. I've always admired that. So this is a very special episode to me because I'm sharing a piece of myself with you guys that I feel is so needed in the world, especially right now. I think the biggest thing we lack is wisdom. The biggest thing we lack is discernment because we don't have people who are open enough to share with us, or even, I don't even feel like a lot of people are interested in even interviewing older generations to get their take on a lot of issues that we deal with right now, because you are less prone to repeat certain things or to make as many mistakes if you can at least learn from the previous generation. So I've talked enough. I want to introduce you guys to them. If you guys can just tell us a little bit about your story. I don't know who wants to go first, but just tell us a little bit about your story, and then we're going to kind of get into a little bit of your wisdom when it comes to different topics and just some of the things that we see in today's age. And hopefully, listeners, you guys go away with so much appreciation and wisdom. If you have grandparents, call them. If you have grandparents, check on them. If you don't have grandparents, when all this stuff is over, you know, you could definitely head to the, you know, local, some of our nursing homes where there's a lot of older people who are very lonely and they would love to share their story with you and talk with you. I've even witnessed that myself. So if you guys can, without further ado, please
welcome. Okay, Ebony.
Yes.
It's Nona. And my story, I was born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania in 1947. And let's see, today we are living in Biloxi, Mississippi. We retired down here. My career was first at Western Electric, and then I had another very long career at Air Products and Chemicals. Pop-Pop and I are married 38 years, and we have four children. When I met Pop-Pop, he had custody of his two children, and I had custody of my two children. And together in the house, we raised all four children. We decided early on that we would never use the word stepson, stepdaughter. They were our children, and we raised them all in our house. I have to touch on one thing that you said, Ebony. I wish that we were closer mile-wise, but even being 1,600 miles from you now, I feel as close to you as though you live next door. We've always talked. We've always been there. And you sure have grown up to be an incredible young woman. And all of those talks that we had through all of those years, you were paying attention. Mm. You know, young folk are rebellious, and they do things that they regret later on in life. We all have our regrets, but you were paying attention, because if you weren't, it wouldn't be where you're at today.
Yeah, for sure.
A beautiful young lady that I'm very proud to call my granddaughter.
Thank
very
you. Proud of you. Really proud. I'm really proud.
Yeah. Yes. And so, Pop-Pop.
Hi. I'm Pop-Pop or T-Pop. I'm Tony, not Anthony. I'm a real Tony. I was born in Charlotte, North Carolina, during a time where it was still segregated. Most people think that segregation is something that used to be and has passed on, but actually a lot of what we're living right now is still segregation to a degree. No, it's not the kind where you have to get off the sidewalk if three white people are walking on the sidewalk, but a lot of people of color are still being discriminated against in an indirect way, and sometimes directly with criminal charges, where one person gets 3 years, another person gets 8 years. Job opportunities where you're qualified for the job, you have all the credentials, but when they see your skin, they don't want to hire you. Mm. I went through that, and fortunately for me, as well as having the credentials for security and law enforcement, I also had a few white people in my life that actually stuck up for me and went to bat for me, and that gave me a complete work career in corrections and law enforcement. My last job was working in high school, so I understand how difficult it is to work with young people sometimes. But I also, with the amount of time that I had to work in at high school in security, I realized that basically all kids are the same. They're going through the same kind of scenarios. Maybe things change with headphones or cell phones, but you still have your insecurities. You still have a process of time where you need to learn from it. And that was a benefit to me to actually be able to help a little bit with some of those young people.
Hmm.
So I'm retired now, mostly tired, and I still enjoy talking and us getting out and doing stuff. As a kid, I moved to, going back a few steps, but as a kid, my mother had the insight to move us from Charlotte, North Carolina to Allentown, Pennsylvania, where I had an opportunity to grow up and go to school, as well as go to college and went to Penn State. Mm-hmm. And I started my work career in corrections, and then went into private security at a company called Western Electric, where I retired from. But that's where I met my wonderful wife, your grandmother. And I then went on and went back to corrections, worked a few more years, and then my last job was working in the high school.
Mm.
And so I've had an extensive amount of time in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just find, as you guys were talking, I just thought about how, you know, we make certain decisions, and even in business or in our lives, you know, you don't, you know, you too didn't say, you know, let's get together because we're good people so that our grandchildren can see what good people look like. You know, that wasn't the thought. The thought was the mutual connection, you know, but, you know, God definitely placed you two together. Cause I know for me, growing up and seeing the domestic violence, you know, I was luckily able to see you guys, as well as Ann and John, and just to see, like, you know, what a relationship could look like without chaos to a degree. I think we all have our own degree of chaos regardless, but, you know, without the you know, the toxicity, if you will. And obviously, I'm sure by the time, you know, as a kid for me, you know, you guys had already grown through a lot of your own growing pains. One of the things that sticks out the most about you two that I think I always admired, even as a kid, and more so as I got older, because I think when you have children, you're just able to appreciate people so much more, whether it's your own parents, even if they're crazy, and especially your grandparents, because you understand how hard it is to raise children and how to just do your best. You know what I'm saying? Just really do your best. And the thing I always admired was, you know, first and foremost, like, Nona, you made the choice to get a divorce in a time that, you know, it wasn't really socially acceptable to be a divorced woman. Not only that, you also decided to marry a Black man, you know, so I think it takes an extreme amount of courage and strong will to just live in your purpose and follow your heart and do what you desire to do opposed to what society desires you to do. And then T-Pop, you know, for you to be a single father and to really be able to shed a voice to the men who are single fathers doing an amazing job and who may have, you know, really, you know, created children with a woman who was toxic, who didn't care to be a good mother. Cause I don't think we hear those stories. We don't hear stories about that as much in society. And we've talked about this on our phone call last week, the way society paints women and just doesn't give enough men enough credit, or just those situations such as yours where you were a single father. So I kind of want to just start about getting into definitely continuing with your story. I know you touched on segregation, but even if both of you can kind of ping pong off each other, just about like really how it was for you guys, you know, getting into your relationships, leaving your previous relationships, and kind of what that looked like for you. Cause I think we think times change, you know, but when I listen to you guys, it's kind of the same, stuff that we deal with today.
Okay. So we look at grandpa and grandma here and we think, oh, they have a nice little life down there in Biloxi, Mississippi. And, you know, everything's, rainbows and balloons, but to get to this point was one hell of a trip. And so at the beginning, when I met your grandfather, I was at a point in life after being married for about 11 years to that person. And it was he abused me and also my two daughters. Mm-hmm. So for me to get out of that relationship, Ebony, one day I sat in the kitchen. And he asked me to do something, and I thought I was choking. I mean, the life was just leaving me. Mm-hmm. It was so easy to leave that toxic relationship. And we struggled, me and the girls, because he really didn't want to give us much. And so we toughed it out. But you know what the thing was? We were in that nice little apartment. And I, like I told you before, I didn't have to open that door if I didn't want to. Mm. I didn't have to pick up that phone if I didn't want to. I had gotten to a point in life where I can't do this anymore. I need to move on. Mm. Well, going a little further down the road, Pop and I worked at the same place. And I had gotten to a point where I thought, I'm going to do for me and my girls, and the rest of the world can go you know where. Mm-hmm. I didn't really, wasn't looking for a relationship or anything else, but the good Lord, he had different thoughts on the subject. Mm-hmm. So,
the neat thing about our relationship initially was that she was just a person that I saw every 3 weeks. I worked swing shift. My hours were, I worked 1 week on day shift, 1 week on second shift, and then 1 week on third shift. Well, Brenda Nona was on third shift. So I would see her, and sometimes I would see her coming into work or leaving work, and I'd say, hey, how are you doing, or whatever, and she'd say, oh, I'm tired, you know, raising the kids, and I'd say, yeah, I know what you mean. And we kind of shared each other's information in regards to being single parents, but nothing formal, nothing like, hey, how you doing, baby, you know, nothing like that. I was very professional on my job because actually most of the guys that I worked with didn't like me. And the reason they didn't like me is I was the second black guy ever on that job. But again, like I said, I had credentials and I had a good record and they had to hire me. So they were kind of out to get me. So Nona, I didn't really spend a lot of time talking to her. It was a 30-second conversation or whatever, or a minute or two, but that was about it. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of in the same place she was, which is I had my two kids. I don't need anybody. As long as my mother would help me out raising the kids when I was on a difficult shift, I was good to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the thing that really made us hit it off. I think if I would have came off strong on her, she'd have said, hell no. And if she'd have came off strong to me, I'd not trusted it. Because I was at a point in my life where I didn't trust women. Because honestly, the two kids I had, my ex had walked out when the baby was 3 months old. And our son was 7 years old. I mean, six. So he was six, one was six, and one was 3 months old. And I thought, if that's where I'm going to run into, I don't need anybody.
Yeah.
So by the time I met Pop Pop, you know, the girls were pretty much grown on my end,
and
12 and 15. And so it was quite an undertaking to take a one-year-old and a seven-year-old. But when you love somebody and you look at children, how could you not love children? So we raised all four in the same house. Well, we thought if we did A and B, C would happen. We were idealistic. We thought we're going to give them a roof over their head and we're going to...
Good foundation.
Good foundation. Yeah. And they were all...
2 equals 29. Not four.
So it was very difficult because now they're put in a position where they're all under the same roof at some point. And it was a very difficult time. At the end of the day, we're good to go now, but it was just sticking to it. And the one thing that Pop Pop and I have always done was to put each other first. Well, God first, but then each other first, because at the end of the day, that's who you're with. The kids are going to go on. They're going to have their mates. They're going to have the people that they love. They're going to have their in-laws and they're going to have their friends. But we always try to stay on the same page.
And it doesn't mean that you don't love them, and it doesn't mean that you don't take care of them, because you do. You love them, but you have to keep a certain love for each other, because the worst thing that two adults can do is put so much into somebody else that you forget who you're with. Because at the end of the day, that's the person that you should be with. And you shouldn't be reintroducing yourself to that person. You should try to stay on the same page. Now, I wanted to say something about Nona and I when we first decided to go out and we were both working at Western Electric. I knew what kind of craziness she was going to have to deal with once they found out that we were doing more than just saying hello. And I remember saying to Nona, I said, you know, if when they find out that we're really an item,
the people at work,
meaning the people on her job that she was friends with, I said, there's a lot of them that won't speak to you. They'll stop talking to you. I said, so I want you to know this up front, because it's going to be tough. And if you aren't ready for it, I want to make sure that you know this is what you have to handle. Mm-hmm. And she thought, no, you know, because I've been at her house and I remember her kids and her kids had a birthday party and my kids went over. And she actually had one of the women walk up to her and say to her that I saw you talking to that black guard. I was a black guard. I wasn't just a guard. I was a black guard. Mm. And they said, if you go out with him, I'll never speak to you again. Mm. And they didn't. Mm. Yeah. So it was still, and you're talking in the late 70s, you're still having people with these attitudes that are purely racist. And it's based on that because we both worked the same place. We both were in employees of the same company. We both made the same kind of money. And they would get rid of you really fast if you didn't work or you didn't show up or you didn't do whatever. So we were both doing what we needed to do on our jobs to stay there. And they still, just because of pigment, gave Nona a hard time. Now, me, I couldn't care because I already worked in a prison. I'd already heard the worst stuff that you'll never hear. But I knew it was going to be painful for her, and it was. And I felt sorry about it, but thank God our love for each other was a lot stronger than what those people had to say. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, some of those very same people we've run into and their relationship didn't make it.
Well, we handle a lot of what we go through with humor. And a lot of times we find ourselves acting silly just to get by the bad parts. You know what I mean, Eb?
Oh, I do. I laugh at I told someone the other day, I said, sometimes when things happen in life, you know, it gets to a certain point where, as crazy as it seems, you have to laugh because it's so funny.
That's the best thing, though. It's the best thing to – I remember one time a long time ago, you know, people would stare at us, and it was like, I don't know why they're staring, but okay. Anyway, we were going to get in the car, and Pop always opens my door still to this day. He opens my door. He's a gentleman. And there was two people sitting on the bench and kind of looking at us sideways and whispering to each other and whatever. And Pop-Pop said, that's right. You better get in that car. I'll beat you like I did yesterday. You know, so for a minute, it took the
stupidity away. Just staring at us like, what?
And it's not all the time that you do stuff like that. But, no. I mean, for the moment, it helped us get through.
Right.
Humor's helped us get through a lot. Pop-Pop was abused the same way I was as a child, and we've had a lot to deal with that over the years. But I'm here to tell you, if you just stick to your guns, and you know, God has your back. It's already set in His book. All of the things that you've gone through. I mean, I always try to. I think I said to you just last week. When something bad happens, don't turn around. Don't turn around. Don't look back over your shoulder, because for every minute you're turning around looking back, you're losing sight of what good stuff is coming.
Yeah.
And it's coming. Yeah. It came for us. I mean, we still have our different things in life that happen, especially living in the South.
Now, it might not show up exactly at the time that you want it to, though. It might take a little bit of time, but it'll
everything,
get there.
Everything is in God's time. And that has proven itself for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm just so thankful that, you know, even per our conversation last week, we kind of been, I've been talking to you guys about interviewing you. As a matter of fact, I tried to interview you years ago. But I just think the timing wasn't right, you know, and I think the beautiful thing about life is we all learn from each other. You've said you've learned different things from me. I've absolutely taken away so much from you. It's just so beautiful to, you know, now that I'm an adult to, you know, when I sit down and I think about all the things I'm grateful for, you know, I always think about you guys because you don't have, it's important to have someone above you who's lived years ahead of you to say, you know what, trust God, it's going to be okay. You know, because everybody doesn't have that. You know what I'm saying?
And to have somebody who will never turn you away no matter what.
Yeah.
I don't care what you come to me with.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is. You don't just throw people away, and you stick by them. And like I always tell you, if there's one thing you know about me, you know I love you.
I do.
And you know that when I leave this planet, I'm still going to love you.
Ooh, don't say that.
I'm gonna send you butterflies and cardinals, and you'll always know that I love you. And that, if that's my legacy, and if that's the thing that I can do for you, then I've accomplished my job. You'll always know that I love you, no matter what. No matter what. And that goes for the kids too. Well, they're not kids anymore, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I definitely know that, and you're gonna make me cry.
Well, I know how abandonment feels, Ebony. I know what it's like. I mean, I used to crawl in a clothes hamper just to get away from the bad things. I was that little. Being abandoned by parents, by family, by friends, by all kinds of people. I don't ever want anybody in my family ever, my friends, my family ever to feel abandoned by something I did. So you will know that I love you no matter what.
Oh no, I definitely know that. And just so you guys have reference, you know, this like, you know, me and her used to write letters to each other because, you know, she understood my household. You know, she just tried to do the best she could do as a grandmother, you know, from a distance. When I would visit, she would always leave me with like care packages of, it would always be like magazines, makeup samples, just like the cutest.
Oh, yeah.
And I always remember that every time I would visit Allentown, I would stay with my aunt and she would come over, or I would go to her house and stay with her for a day, or spend the night and watch some scary movies with my grandfather. He's always up late watching this type of scary movies that I didn't like.
He still does.
Yep. You know, just those memories and just being able to have that. As an adult, I've looked at my friends and those around me, and, you know, people just don't, nobody has that. Nobody has those memories of their grandparents being that active in their life. Like, maybe they even had their grandparents, or, you know, they had the grandmother who, you know, had, forgive me, you know, whole tendencies. So, you know, what are you really learning? And it just made me think about, you know, you kind of threw me off. You almost made me cry a little bit. Well, I kind of did, y'all. Y'all gonna see that on YouTube, so. But I know that for sure, you know, and I think that's loving prayers and having that in your corner. I don't devalue you guys, and I pray to be the grandmother equally, you know, as active in my grandchildren's lives and, you know, allowing them to, you know, understand my stories. You know, I think if you guys never shared your stories with me, even me going through my experiences of, you know, the whole, you know, rape and the different circumstances, you know, I think, A, it helped me to see generational patterns that have to be broken through mindset and diligent healing work. That was big. But if, you know, if people don't share their stories with you, you do feel very alone. You do feel very victimized.
Isolated. So you can be married and still be by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how it is in my house. But there's a lot of people. I mean, that's how I felt the first time around. I was very lonely all the time. So I have learned to, during that early period, to really enjoy my own company.
Yep. Yeah.
And another thing, this is so important. We do not eat until we have said grace at the table. We sit at the table every day, just the two of us here in Mississippi, and we say grace. And Pop Pop is the best, most prayerful person you'll ever meet. And he always prays for our, like I said to you early, for family, for our friends, and for our enemies, because our enemies are broken.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they need prayer.
They need it. And, you know, sometimes when you go through very difficult times, it can erode who you are.
Mm.
It can affect you in a way that makes you negative. And you have to remember that you make a conscious effort to hold on to that or not. And the reason I say that is after being born in Charlotte, North Carolina, and experiencing segregation, then moving to Pennsylvania, and to a degree still experiencing it, but not to the same degree, I realized as an adult, as a person growing up, I had an opportunity. And that opportunity was to either hold on to the negativity and hate people and not trust, or to take people on an individual basis and not let pigment affect it, mm-hmm. and not let maybe even an unkind word affect what you truly think about someone. Now, continue to cuss you out, that's one thing. But sometimes, and everybody has it, everybody has a moment where they say something they wish they could take back, or maybe they said it out of context from not understanding. And I thought to myself, I don't want to hold these negative feelings. And I know I had some personal angers in my life, and I really did have to pray about it. And God, being God and being good, gave me peace of mind with some of the people that I truly, as Nona said, had been abused by. And it took me some time to be able to say that person's name without feeling a level of anger. But I thank God for giving me that peace, and I thank God for helping me release that, because at the end of the day, it erodes you. You never get anything positive from that anger and that hate. So if you have a true outgoing personality, continue to have it, because if you allow that kind of negativity to affect you, then you're not living the life that you're supposed to. And that's why I take stupid pictures, and Nona takes stupid pictures of me, and I wear stupid clothes now because I can, and we have a good time, because God put us here to smile and to maybe make somebody else smile.
Yeah, well, you definitely made me smile throughout the years, for sure.
Well, hey, one thing for sure, even though we weren't, even when we were in Pennsylvania, we're still 360 miles away, it still has worked, because it's words, it's a heart, it's feeling, it's not giving up and just saying, oh, well, they're 1,600 miles away, they don't need me, you know, they don't need my words, they don't need my, so it doesn't matter about miles, and it doesn't matter, oh, in an idealistic world, I wish you lived next door, and then I could play with the kids and, you know, have a great time. But we have to just make it work from afar, and hopefully we make some kind of mark in this family.
Yep, I feel that love covers every distance. There is no distance that love can't cover. So I don't see any mileage difference on that, and we truly love you guys, all of you.
Yeah.
And like the last time we got together, it was so much fun, and just being the girls and how they're growing up, and that little guy you got there that just warms your heart and makes you smile.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, that did as much for us as it did for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I hope you guys listening to, if you have grandparents who are amazing, call them. If you don't, make some, go to the local nursing homes when this is over. because, you know, I just find there's so much wisdom and there's so much to be learned from stories. And, you know, I thank God that luckily you two have turned your pain into power. You have chosen to heal. You have chosen to, you know, make the best of everything, because I think wisdom is something you have to pursue. I think courage is something you have to pursue. I think being brave is something you have to pursue in your actions and the things you do. I know, you know, one of the other things about even I had learned about Nona as a kid was you going back to school. You know, I think you said, were you 40? Were you already 40 at that time?
Yes, I was 40. I worked at Western Electric and lost my job. It went to Singapore. The job that I got $17 an hour for, somebody did it over in Singapore for $1.78, and they did a good job.
Mm.
So because I lost my job due to foreign trade, I went back to school at 40 and got a degree in stenography. And then I got a job at Air Products and stayed there for almost 25 years. But that was no easy task, you know. It's hard to go back to school when you get to be a certain age and learn all over again. So I guess the moral of the story is all of the things that we've been through in life, whether it's Pop-Pop or myself, all of those things are a mosaic, and they are a conglomeration of things that make us who we are today. And hopefully we can have compassion for other people that have, I've met so many people that I've had compassion for because of situations they were going through, because I went through the same thing. And the same thing with Pop-Pop. So hopefully we can help somebody, pick somebody up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just don't know how to get through it, or they think there's no light at the end of the tunnel, or they just can't make it through this mess. And you're here to say, look, I've been through the mess. Mm-hmm. And you just know that it's going to be all right. Oh, you know what? I have to tell you, there's a place down here called Robin's Nest. And it, you know, Robin Roberts on TV?
Yeah.
Her sister runs it, and their family is astounding. Anyway, one of the things that their mother always used to say to them was, make your mess your message.
Mm.
You take your mess and you make a message out of it.
Yeah.
The mess that we went through for I always say I'm 72 and a half, don't forget that half. All those years, if I can give or make some kind of a message out of the mess that we came out of, then I feel like I did something for someone else.
Yeah.
It wasn't for naught. It wasn't all in vain. We're still useful people. Just because we're older or because we're not in the workforce or whatever does not mean we're not viable or that we don't have something valuable to say.
Yeah, I think if anything, you know, elders, and I think we've lost that essence in our society, and most other societies still, most other cultures, if you will, still hold that as part. It's culture. Culture is elders, right? When you look at Native Americans or you look at other cultures, it's always the elders that pass down the knowledge, the wisdom, the, you know, the magic tricks and all that stuff. And I think in the American culture, because we don't value that anymore, you know, we don't have wisdom. We don't have the ability to, you know, for me, a lot of my motivation comes from, you know, there's time, you know, there's so many quotes that say, you know, your ancestors didn't struggle for you to, you know, be mediocre. You know, so there's so many times that when I think about everything that you've been through, that Ann's been through, that mommy's been through, that my daughters could potentially go through, you know, that helps me to push harder, to keep going, to know that, you know, this is just a circumstance, this is not a destination, and that, you know,
right.
It's just,
that's
so
exactly right,
to be overcome. And it's so funny because so many of our, so many of mine and your life has such a mirror image to it.
A lot of parallels.
Yeah, a lot of parallels where, you know, the day that I go back to work, It was the day that I went back to work after my third child, you retired. Many other parallels. So, you know, the parallel of you saying you would rather live in a box than to stay with, you know, your first husband, you know, and then me to say it, and for T-Pop to say, your grandmother said the same thing, you know. So it's like, I think we definitely relive certain things, and it's just my prayer for people out there to just pay attention to what your grandparents have suffered through, pay attention to their life story, pay attention to what they didn't get to do, you know, because for me, that motivates me to push harder. You personally wrote a letter that you sent me of your story that I definitely plan on including in a book, because you know, that's the legacy, and that's the ability to show people, you know, the parallels aren't there to just be looked at. They're there to, for me at least, to give me motivation and to allow me to be even greater because of the suffering. It didn't just start with me. It's been generations in the making. So for me, that makes me go harder. But I definitely, you know, like, I'll say it again, I value each, you guys, to the nth degree, and to any other grandparent out there that is active in their grandchild's life. I think even as parents, you know, even as a mom, sometimes I think some of the stuff that I say goes to vain. And I'm sure you guys felt that way. You're so freaking repetitive. You're just like, I just want to choke you. Like, did you not hear? I said that 100 times already, you know? And even sometimes with my kids, they'll say to me what I said to them. And it's like, oh, okay, they were listening, you know, and they know who you are. And just that standard, you know, it's so funny because when I left high school, you know, I was still kind of dealing with that guy or whatever. I wasn't really fully done with him as of yet. And I don't really tell this story. I don't even know if I've said it to you, but I had a lot of friends trying to convince me to be a stripper. It was a lot of, you know, you can make a lot of money, you know, everyone, you're so pretty, you'll make a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. You know, people say, what would Jesus do? You know, and I tried it.
Okay.
And no more than 3 times. It's so funny because 3 is my number. And it's so funny because the final time I remember thinking to myself, you know, people say, what would Jesus do? I kept sitting there thinking, you know, what would Nona think? And have I ever shared this with you?
No.
Oh, hey, look it. We're revealing all kinds of secrets.
Well, you're telling on yourself now, girl. I'm going to have to pray a little harder.
Right. It's okay. I try to be transparent because that's just life. You know, we make bad choices.
No. That's fine.
That's how much you impacted me in my life, is that I really, that was literally my thought, is if Nona walked up in this strip club right now, you know what I'm saying? Like, how would I feel? Well, would I feel empowered? Like, she'd be like, yes, girl, like, twerk it, you know? Or would I feel like she wasn't, you know, I know you would never look down on me, and I know you would never,
never
shame me, but there's definitely been times where you've checked me and you've just said, hey, I love you. However, this is above you, pretty much, in not so many words, you know? So I definitely, for that experience, not only did God not allow it to be happen, but because you've always been a very spiritual woman in my life, and that was the key, is that you and Papa both have been very spiritual people to me.
Well, thank you.
I've always had a compass. That gave me a compass of right and wrong. Not to say I didn't do a lot of wrong things, but because
We all have.
When you have that compass, though, it kind of just, like, God can't let you, he can't let you go that way. And
no,
I couldn't make any great money with it. And other than that, I just remember that last time that I was there, it was so humiliating. And I kept thinking, like, what would my grandmother think right now? Like, would I be proud to call her? And she's like, you know, because we always stayed in contact. You always wanted to know what I was doing. So
yes.
I would have had a lie my whole, you know, I would have had a lie about it. Like, oh, yeah, I'm just bartending, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm working at the local convent. I don't think so.
Right. So, and you would have figured it out. You're so smart and intuitive, you know, so. You know, I know that in many ways it set so many standards for me, as far as, you know, what to expect, except for myself, you know. So when I teach these different things, And I even have guys that tell me, you know, like, you just think like all women are like you, like all women don't have a compass. All women don't, you know, have that level of standards. And I always tell people, and I've said this on a podcast, a couple podcasts ago, I said, you know, you have to have standards for yourself. You don't develop, you know, if you're a girl or a guy and you're used to being a hoe, you know, as an example,
yeah.
You don't develop a standard because now you're married. So you're like, you know what? Let me not hoe anymore. No, you have to prepare yourself and not be
You have to have standards in all parts of your life.
And guys have to have the same standards too. Mm-hmm. I've always said that. You can't. I've heard guys say it, and I looked at them, and I really didn't think they realized what they were saying. When guys think they're putting a girl down by saying, oh, yeah, she hoed around, and, you know, I had her, too, and blah, blah, blah. She's been with 9 guys, so, you know, I did her. I'm thinking to myself, well, don't you have any self-integrity?
Yeah.
Don't you have any level of a higher caliber for yourself to say, I don't need to do that. Matter of fact, I don't want to. And if that girl's doing that, that's on her. But I don't have to jump into that because I have an opportunity to. Because really, I'm not degrading her. I'm degrading me. Mm. And I think guys need to know that it's okay to say no. It is okay. It doesn't prove that you're a man just because you lay it down with somebody that says, do you want to? I mean, guys should have enough personal integrity to say, no, I'm good. I don't. I appreciate your offer, but I don't need that. I'm good. And it doesn't mean that you're a saint, and it doesn't mean that you might not be attracted to somebody. But it's not. It doesn't do anything for your own personal character to say that, well, everybody was doing it, so I did too. I never understood that. I never understood it. And you can get tricked like anybody else. You think you met a nice person, you find out they're not. That's a whole different story. But to know that maybe this person does a lot with a lot of people, and you just had to do it too because it was easy, doesn't mean that you're that great of a person. Yeah. I never understood that about guys. So guys need to get pulled in the check be held accountable for themselves
and
as well.
Standards.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying, no, just because you offered it doesn't mean I have to do it. No.
Yeah. And listen, y'all don't know, in 2020, Steve Harvey came out, not in 2020, but, you know, Steve Harvey came out with that book, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, and that changed the game because now you have a lot of women who really believe, you know, I could treat dudes how dudes have been treating me. You know, I could have multiple dudes. I could sleep with them and not care about them and hurt their feelings, break their heart, take their money.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, right. It's just very different in these times, you know, and I'm happy to, you know, for a lot of people of my age, you know, people are like, oh my God, you're so wise. It's like, but I get that from having listened to you guys, having watched you guys, and understand that, you know, you have to have standards. And when you have standards for yourself, I'm always proud of myself, you know, because I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Self-worth.
It is.
You have self-worth. You're valuable. You're precious. You're a queen. Yeah. I mean, really, you know, you have to think more of yourself than to do something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not easy sometimes, but still you have to take the high road.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, which you both definitely did on so many accounts, whether it's, you know, being together, raising your children, doing your best, you know. And my thing has always kind of been, you know, I want you to at least feel like, you know, your legacy at least can, your legacy will live on through me. And my ability to convey what I've learned from you with the world and to, you know, share with people that part of me that's helped to mold me. And, you know, because it's very lonely. It's very lonely to lead a life where you don't value yourself. I've been down that road, you know, where I didn't value myself. I mean, even leaving that you guys know I left my relationship, obviously, before anybody else knows, but, you know, to be able to walk away from that and to, you know, I walk away with your strength. I walk away.
Oh, it's empowering.
Yeah. And just knowing that there's a self-value that, you know, if I didn't have the ability to know I was worth more and to know that even with you guys, I mean, you guys pretty much started again, you know, to know that I can start again and not for nothing, you guys. Here's the kicker. So Nona, she met Pop Pop because I had to ask her the other day. I was like, hold up, because it's pretty much like, you know, Miss Cleo nowadays. Now that I see the parallels, I'm like, wait, hold up, how old were you when you got together? So she said she was 33. So I'm gonna be 33 this year. I'm waiting for that parallel to align. You know,
Ebony.
Like, yes.
It's on the way. It might not be tomorrow or next month or until the end of this year, but
it's when you're not expecting it, and you've already settled in your mind that you don't need anybody because you're doing okay.
Just by yourself on your
own. I mean, and I definitely feel like that now, you know, for sure.
Yeah. You know, I think great things are coming.
Yeah.
You have to trust and believe. Ask God and he'll answer your prayers. You know what? Joel Osteen always says, if you speak it, it'll come to pass, you know?
Yeah.
If you speak bad words, oh, I look terrible today. Oh, I'm going to look ugly tomorrow. I know she's not going to do my hair right and the colors. Just say, you know what? I look good every day of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to speak good words for good things to happen.
Yeah.
There's something coming in your direction that's going to be great, grand, and wonderful.
And
I just know it.
We are so happy that you put so much value into yourself. You know what I mean? You are an excellent granddaughter, but you're an excellent mother as well. And we actually appreciate that. We actually really honor that because you're not a person that's weak-minded and just gives up.
Yeah.
And that's really what it takes. It takes the inner strength, and sometimes you don't know you have that, but you do have it, and we've seen it with you, and we're so proud of that.
Well, I'm just letting y'all know, the reason why you're on this podcast is because you passed it along to me. You passed the torch, and there's just so much value. There's so much value in that, and there's so much value. I bet you people are going to be like, can we hear them more? Because, you know, it just doesn't exist. You know, when I look at some of the decisions my friends make, you know, I'm just fucking blown away. Excuse my French. You know, I'm just like, damn, like, you know, and I said this to you guys with certain things. Sometimes I'd be like, who raised y'all? Like, you didn't know that. You didn't know you were supposed to not do that, or that, you know, sometimes taking the high road is not a bad thing. You don't always have to have the last say. You don't always have to get people back. You don't always have to be revengeful and like live your whole
wasted
life
energy.
Wasting your energy, you know. So you guys represent just so much positivity and just the ability to even know we're not perfect. And I tell everybody this, I say so many things about you, Nona, on these podcasts. And it's like, if I never heard you saying to me, I'm still growing. I'm always, but you both always say that to me. I'm still growing. I'm still
Maya Angelou. Hopefully I got a little ways to go yet. I'm still learning.
Yeah.
I'm never too old to appreciate, you know, more learning, being a better person, always just, you know, nobody's perfect and we don't all know everything.
Yeah.
All we can do is help ourselves and however we can help other people along the way. It makes me feel good.
Yeah. And
it makes us feel good.
I always look at, you know, you can always make a negative a positive. And that means if you've done something wrong or you've done something that maybe you shouldn't have done, if you learn from it and you don't repeat it, then that negative thing becomes a positive thing.
Mm.
And And that's what I used to say to the kids in high school. I said the reason they call it high school is because you're supposed to be learning on a higher level. Mm-hmm. But this is the place where you make the mistakes. You make them here, so when you get out into society, you don't carry that out there, and then maybe it's worse for you. In high school, you get suspended, you get, you know, detention, you get a couple days out of school. In society, you might get arrested, you might get locked up, you might get shot. And that's why it was a real good experience for me to try to pass on some adult knowledge to young people. And I would tell them, I said, I have no reason to lie to you. I have no reason to tell you a falsehood. I'm only going to tell you what helps you.
Yeah.
And there are certain tools that you need to have in life to succeed.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
It's kind of hard to sum up your life in a very short period of time, but if anybody would have any questions or anything, we would be more than happy to.
No, they can't hear you. No.
There's a million things we could answer, like, you know, you're not sounding black on the phone. There's a funny story with that one. I mean, you know, or Nona and I going into a clothing place because we were going to go out and I was going to buy a new suit. And the guy looks at her and says, I guess you're paying for this.
Yeah.
Not knowing that we were both working at Western Electric and making good money.
Mm.
Or I met my insurance agent for our house. You know the house we had on Hamilton Street?
Yeah.
We got a new insurance agent. He called me up and he said it would be nice, be nice to meet you. And I said, fine. So he told me what day and what time, which was a Friday at 4:30. He says that was the last appointment and we could talk, get to know each other. I said, fine. So I showed up on a Friday at 4:30. And because I didn't sound black on the phone, he told me, he says, I thought I was going to get mugged in my own office.
Okay.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's stuff like that really happens and has happened to us. And
humor helps.
If people have questions about it, we have answers because we've lived quite a long time. And thank God, God let us learn from even our negative experiences. We've learned from things. You know,
only because you let it. You know, I think that's the thing that I feel like with choice and free will is that you have to allow it. You have to, you know, today I sat by the water and I just stared at it and I thought, you know, water is both very calming and, you know, all that great stuff, but water can be very destructive, right? You think about a flood.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So a leak in a house, like, you know, it ain't beautiful no more. There's no ease, calm, and flow to that, you know, so. I kind of thought, you know, we just have to bend and mold and really just go with the waves of the experiences, know our choices, know the ones that we didn't have control over, which is our childhood, which, you know, as you guys expressed, you had traumatic, very traumatic childhoods. And honestly, learning about them, you know, they always say, if you knew my shoes, you'd want to keep your own. And I'm not. You know, when I learned about your story, I don't even know if I've told you that, but the day you told me about your story, I was like so, you know, I almost felt like I wish you had told me sooner, but I mean, obviously it was on your own timing when you felt like it was right. And I just was like, damn, I don't think I'll keep my shoes. I'll keep the shoes that I've lived, but then that means I have to make the very best of what I have been given. And I can't look back, like you said, and I can't play a victim and just know that, you know,
I'll never be a victim.
Yeah. Well, you didn't. You definitely didn't become a victim. You know, I think you definitely
a survivor.
Yeah, you both turned your pain into power, and I think that's the beauty of life if we allow it to be that way. And I'm just honored to be your granddaughter. So y'all, this is all the wisdom, this is all the love, the light, the humor, that you see. This is definitely plays a huge part in who I am, because I definitely love to laugh. You know, I think laughing,
yeah,
definitely healing. Every time we all get together, we definitely laugh a whole
yes,
lot.
Yes, we do.
We laugh we have a time. Lot.
Well, we're happy to be your grandparents.
Yes.
You. You know, at the end of the day, no matter what, we love you always.
Yep.
And we're very proud of you and the girls.
Yep, and that young man you got there.
And yep.
And we got to give them a kiss and a hug from us.
Little Levi.
All of them, because we love them.
I surely will. So do you guys have any other, you know, final thoughts that you'd like to leave the audience with? This is Soul Chat. So I created this podcast to just speak to the deeper level of people, to go beneath the surface of basic conversations, of living basic, mediocre lives, of where we don't really try, or where we just want to live in comfort. And sometimes in comfort, you know, whether there's women out there who are with men, who you're in a relationship with them, but you feel alone. And that resonated so much with me. I'm like, damn, I used to feel so alone. That's probably why I even still don't have a issue with being alone, because you either learn to be codependent on that person and you try to get them to love you, or you say, you know what? Fuck this. I'm just going to love myself and build up the courage.
You know what, Ebony? being alone for me was a relief.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I was alone when I was real small and could fit in the hamper, being alone was a safe place for me.
Yeah.
If I didn't have to deal with anything or anyone, being alone was okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think my message would just be never to be the victim, to always keep moving forward. And to know that God has great, grand, and wonderful things for you. You have to speak. You have to speak what you want, though. You have to speak and say, I know, God. I know you have good things coming for me, and please help me to be patient. I know they will come in your time, but they're on their way.
Yes.
You always have to have hope. You always have to have hopes and dreams. Without hopes and dreams, you don't have a future.
Yeah, for sure.
I have a thought, and I'd like to pass it on. I know people have said to us at different times, God, you guys are married, what, you know, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years? I'd say almost 40 years. And they're like, well, how'd you do it? I mean, how did you make that happen? I said, well, first of all, life and love is a compromise.
Mm.
But you also have to realize that you, in your relationship, it's not 50-50. Matter of fact, it's not even 100 to 100. Sometimes it's 150 to 50.
Mm.
Sometimes it's 175 to 25. And what I mean is, prime example, Nona and I have worked together all these years, but there have been times when I was up and she was down, or she was up and I was down. I've had some surgeries that I couldn't lift when I got hit by a car, I couldn't lift a bag of groceries. Nona had to bring them into the house. I wasn't doing 100% then. I couldn't give 100%. So she not only had to do her 100%, but she had to do my 50%, because maybe I could sweep, maybe I could still cook, but I couldn't pick up anything heavy. So she had to carry that part. So she had to do her part plus mine. When she had shoulder surgery and she couldn't dress herself, or it was hard for her to do other things, I had to do my 100% in whatever she couldn't do. And if you're finding that person, if you're thinking, I think this person is right for me, then they have to be able to give that much as well. Because it's not always 50-50 and it's not 100-100, because they've got to be strong enough and caring enough and loving enough to pick up the part that you can't do at that time. And if you find that person, then you got the right person.
Yes.
I mean, we could talk about that too. I know and invited me over for breakfast, but that's all another story. But anyway,
then he threw me down in the grass at the park and he kissed me.
No, that was you.
Yeah. No, Pete did. He did it.
She tripped me and I fell on the gas and then she made it
up. No, no, he didn't.
Whatever. Anyway.
Oh, good. I'm happy you actually ended with that because maybe we can save that for another episode just on relationships because I think we are very confused in this generation about what it takes to make a relationship. We're either in super bad relationships or we're just moving on and hopping like little bunnies from person to person.
You don't have to settle.
Well, believe me, we have some insight on what it really takes.
Yeah.
And that's part of it.
Yep.
Yeah, I know you guys do. And I think just what you said is just so important. And I'm just going to make a comment real quick, only because I had a person say on one of the threads that I've been sharing some very thought-provoking questions on Facebook just for insight and partly humor and, you know, just to humor myself a little bit and just to create conversation. I like creating conversations with people. But I had a girl say, you know, I'm with somebody and he does everything for me and I do everything for him, but he stresses me out and he's toxic, you know? So needless to say, folks listening, you know, I think sometimes you can even have a person that might do that. But I think what I have found is, you know, even with the previous person I was with, I feel like we could at times pick up each other's slack to a degree, but I feel like you're never going to be with somebody who picks up your slack and then throws it in your face and then makes you feel less than or holds it over your head. You know, it's smooth sailing. It's like, okay, you're not all right now. Like, let's do what we got to do and get it done, you know? So I think we just also, we're definitely probably just going to have to record another episode where we solely focus on relationships. And that's the other thing that I know I was blessed to be able to see, because if I never saw what a relationship looked like, I mean, what I was able to see was very dysfunctional, was makeup, breakup, argue, domestic violence, you know, then there was my dad with his in and out girlfriends and, you know, all that type of stuff. And it really creates dysfunction in our minds of what we accept to be love, what we think love is. Some of us think love is pain. Some of us think there's even women.
Very true too.
I thought
yeah.
If, you know, I've had older women tell me, I felt like if he hit me, my understanding was, well, then he must love me. If he cares.
I heard that growing up. Mm. I heard that from different people. If he really loved me, that's why he smacked me like that, because he loved me. And I'm like, no.
Crazy. And that's, but that's why I say discernment, because to me, discernment is, it. You know, you can't say common sense because common sense is not common, but discernment to me is, you know, that ability to know without a reason, you know, without question that, you know, it's almost like, what would God want for me? What type of ideal situation would be most God-like and God-led? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah. That doesn't make sense. It sounds crazy being said out loud, but if everybody's saying it, and that's how crazy society is, you know, if everybody's saying, think about cigarettes. If you look at the old cigarette ads, the person on the flyer, and people, this is Google information, I don't make this shit up. It was a doctor with a cigarette saying, smoke the cigarettes, they're great for you. You know, people were smoking.
That's right.
The windows up. So it's like, that's how we are as a society, is if we're all saying it, we just all believe it. We're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like, smoke the cigarette, roll the windows up, you know, you don't even have to roll them down. The kids can smell it. It's fine. No one's going to die. It's all good. You know? So it's like, I think when we all agree to a thing, especially that saying that love is pain, and the fact right. that we all kind of accepted that as a measurement of love and what love should look and feel like, I could admit that's probably why I've even been a little confused in my own relationship, because after being cheated on, you guys knew from a grandparent perspective, you already yep. felt in your heart, like, this just ain't the man for my, not my little Ebony.
That's not my right. little
Ebony, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
My mom.
Yeah. My little snot nose.
No, I thought that pain represented the portion of what relationship should be like, the things that we should go through to help us grow. And it's just so toxic, and it's very rare that I feel from an honest level that people can actually go through those type of experiences and recover from them and it mean you're meant to be together. You know what I'm saying? Right. I think, okay, yeah. you got, you know, she her arm was injured and you had to help her get dressed. It's like, okay, that's an experience that shifts the dynamic of the relationship and that brings you closer. But experiences like infidelity at a lot of times are not necessarily meant to bring you closer. They're just meant to show you this is who this person really is. This is what they value. Right. This is what they hold at the forefront of their mind.
That just wouldn't be that would not even be a possibility in this marriage for 4 years.
Right.
It would be unacceptable.
Right.
As hard as it is to leave a relationship, you have
you
to give,
do that. You got to go.
Give yourself a minute to get over it and then move on.
Yeah. Because
there's something better out there.
Yeah. And you guys definitely give me hope. I think we have to be able to see examples of things. It's kind of like with, you know, the pandemic, to be able to see examples of people healed and walking out of a hospital. You have to be able to, we need to understand that there are more possibilities. And what the world wants to do is the world wants to make you live in fear. The world wants you to take your eyes off of God and to focus on your inadequacies. And like, Pop, you said so eloquently, which is, you know, you can become very jaded from your experiences, and it's so easy to become jaded because they hold a lot of weight in who we think we are, and it's just lies. And if we allow ourselves to grow from it, you can take that same pain and morph it into just a beautiful future and just passion for people. Like, you guys have a passion for sharing your knowledge with, you know, you share it with older people around you, you share it with the younger people you encounter. Obviously, you've shared it with me my entire life. And that's one thing. I mean, like, you guys, they used to come, and it was funny because me and my siblings would always laugh. And I think I don't know if you ever heard us say this, but Pop would like come, and he would just, you know, they would come and they always came with goodies. That was one thing. They were always like the fairy godparents. And he would always just come with his stories. They both would. And we'd be like, all right, here goes lesson number 1,225, you know, like, you know.
He's still coming with the stories. He goes out for the mail. He comes back an hour later because he met 9 people from the neighborhood, and he's with his stories out in the street. Mm-hmm. Ay, ay, ay.
But it's a beautiful thing because we don't have that connection. We learn so much from each other. And even though I'm only a little tiny 32, you know, the fact that I share my stories with people, and even sharing, leaving that relationship, I wasn't, you know, I'm a business. So I'm like, how can I plug this into my marketing? You know, this is where we're at, 2020, right? You're like, where can I plug this into my marketing and create some money off of this experience, you know? But something was like, you know what, just share this experience. It was so freeing for me, even though I was still living through it and I'm still, you know, working my way through it. But you know, when we share, we just don't know who we're going to touch or who we're going to inspire. And that's just the beautiful thing about our story. So I'm happy to have had you guys on. I'm happy that you shared.
Thank you.
Yourselves.
Thank you for having us.
My audience, you guys, I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I hope you took some nuggets. Obviously, like always, if you love this podcast, make sure you share it with your friends. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. If you would like to donate, you can subscribe to a monthly sponsorship on Anchor, or you can cash at me at Heal and Thrive to make sure that we can continue these future episodes. I've been giving away free content for years, and definitely any donation or subscription is highly appreciated. You guys, thank you so much for taking your time to join me. I love you guys to the moon and back.
We love you.
We love you guys too.
And back again.
Love you.
Again. Thank you guys so much for listening. You guys tune into the next podcast next week. Thank you for tuning into Soul Chat with your host, Ebony Tatora. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, leave a review, and if you love it, share it with your friends. And make sure you join us next week for another conversation with your soul, bringing you thought-provoking conversations that require you to look a little bit deeper than the surface.